among the dead. Jesus has risen. Jesus has risen. My statement to you in that situation in your life, why seek the living amongst the dead? Rise up in your life. Change your thinking and rise up with victory with Christ and be everything that God has called you to be. For the hundreds that are watching online, I want you to understand, you're missing church. You're missing church. These are the greatest people in the world. And when you come to the house of God and you join hands with the house of God, God does the miracles because this is a house of the miraculous. Amen. Find yourself a church. And if you're close by, come and see us. Oh man, I'm so excited. I got here early this morning. I'm jumping up and down in my office. I couldn't wait. I'm just pacing back and forth. Usually I'm calm and I'm praying. I'm just like when I was young playing baseball and just pacing, getting ready to pitch. And I'll tell you what, I'm getting ready to pitch the Word of God. And we're going to do some great things. We're going to see the power of God move. Let me pray for you. Matter of fact, if you're comfortable with this, we're far from COVID, but if you're not comfortable with this, it's okay. Join hands with one another. We're going to absolutely proclaim the miraculous over your homes, over your relationships, over your finances, over your dreams, over the vision that God has given you. Did you know, keep holding hands, even if they're sweaty, did you know that God's plans for you were before the foundation of the world? Ephesians 1 tells us that. Did you know that in those plans, it is for good? We're going to learn today that Jesus Christ took the dominion back, and the enemy has no place in your plans that God has for you. In Jesus' name, I proclaim the blessings over the house of God right now. Over the hundreds that are watching online, in Jesus' name. For the many churches that I prayed with this morning, in Jesus' name. The house of God is blessed, moving in a positive understanding of that Jesus Christ is Lord of everything. That He's already paid the price for the cost that we are experiencing. And right now in Jesus' name, I proclaim a blessing over the husbands and the fathers. I proclaim a blessing over the mothers and the wives. I proclaim a blessing over the temple of God, our bodies, in Jesus' name. By Jesus' stripes, we are and we're healed. It is for healing, it's for today. I proclaim a blessing over that dream. That sometimes a nightmare comes and says it can't happen. The scripture tells us God's plans are yea and amen. And in Jesus' name, right now, in Jesus' name, I come against that doubt. I come against that experience that we've experienced that is telling us it's no good, it's not going to work. And I release the anointing and the peace of God, that the Holy Spirit would rule our thoughts and our minds. And in Jesus' name, victory is at hand. Victory is at hand. Lord, as we join hands with our brothers and sisters, oh man, let the love of God, let the peace of God, let the encouragement of our personalities just express over our neighbors that we're holding hands with. In Jesus' name, Lord, give us an understanding, a greater understanding of the church, of who we really are. And I proclaim just an amazing revelation over that. Lord, I thank you for the spiritual fathers, the spiritual moms. I thank you for the blessing that they have, the experience, the knowledge, the wisdom, the insight, the anointing that they walk in. That right now, even in the reality of not knowing the person next to us, but understanding that they are a real person with a real call and a real anointing, and they can be a blessing to you. And all we have to do is open up our hearts to one another and be the church. I now pray for our youth and our children. We saw our children this morning, many of them, and how they are learning not of how to be a Christian, but they are learning what a Christian is. And we saw the expressions on their hearts, a desire to worship you, blessings upon our children and the children's ministry, all that lead, blessings upon our youth. Lord, Friday night, it just blessed my heart. Pastor Ryan expressed it. So many young people were here crying unto the Lord, raising their hands and shouting to the Lord and saying, you are my God and I will follow you. Thank you, Lord, for the move of God that is happening in our area, but especially in our church. And I proclaim that blessing again over every aspect of this house and the homes represented in this congregation. Lord, continue to bless those online. Make the church homes be a reality and grow and just multiply. That not just a few every week, but hundreds and hundreds every week would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And right now I pray, if there's anyone in this house or listening online, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord, he is a living God that is real, and everything that he did for you. Because he loves you. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, why don't you just high five somebody before you're seated. God bless you as you are seated. Well, welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm going to give you a little secret. You can run over next door to my wife. Tomorrow's her birthday. She will be 39. And just tell her, happy 39th birthday. Amen. A couple things before I get started. First of all, again, I just personally just want to express to you what a joy it is to be a part of this church. Yeah, I'm a pastor of the church, but it's just a joy to experience you. I've watched so many of you just grow in the Lord. Some of you that are visiting today, it's such a privilege to meet you. It is an honor for me personally, for this house, that you would this morning get up and have breakfast. If you didn't have breakfast, I won't be that long today. Lunch is coming. But just recognize that we are appreciative of you being here. And we hope that you would enjoy the Lord, not just enjoy us. I think we have great people here and great music. But if you would enjoy the Lord today and you'd experience him, his life, who he is for you and everything about your life. But there are two things I want to do is, Pastor Bob, he had surgery a while ago, but I'm going to ask Pastor Bob if he could stand just for a moment. And his beautiful wife is sitting next to him. But men, we need spiritual fathers. We need men in our lives that understand the principle of being father to you. And so Pastor Bob, who is a never retired, but a semi-retired minister, is the pastor overseeing our men's ministry. He has a unique way of expressing the Word of God, but not expressing as just teaching, but expressing it in relationship. And so I want to encourage every one of you men that to go out in the foyer before you leave. I know your wife's going to say the roast is going to burn, but just it's okay. Just sign up for the men's breakfast and understand he will be speaking, he will be ministering, but there's so many other plans for the men's ministry. But the main goal is that you would experience dads. Because some of you didn't have a good dad, even though you fought to honor father. But many of you need to experience a true father-like one. That's what a pastor is, a father-like one, if you study the meaning of it. And so he is that. And it privileged me and honored me when I called him. And it was funny because the Lord spoke to me, but I always don't say, you know, I don't say this, well, you know, the Lord spoke to me and you're going to do what I tell you. No, no. And so I called him expressing my desire of him leading after Israel stepped down and began focusing on other specific ministry. And I called him up. He said, oh, yeah, I was in the sanctuary and the Lord spoke to me that I was supposed to, you know. So that's how God works. And I need to get in the Word of God, but Pastor, I love you. I appreciate you. As the lead pastor of this church, it does my heart good knowing that all the men that are sitting here watching online, that they have someone that will truly image to them Christ. Thank you so much. Give them a great hand. Then also this afternoon, we have our Spanish service, and what an amazing pastor that we have. And Pastor, would you stand, please? Yeah. So this afternoon, and I wanted you to see his coat, too. Isn't that a cool coat? Yeah, looking good, man. So he is... Pastor Angel is such an amazing man, spiritual father, and that has always been in my heart to develop at any church that I've ever been a part of. And why is that? Because that's the heart of God. He's Father. He's Father to us. Amen. Well, turn your Bibles to the book of John. And we're going to continue in the series, the stories around the tomb. Can you imagine Resurrection Sunday? Can you imagine that first day, what went on, what people were thinking, what they were experiencing? And so what we're going to do today is we're going to be a little doctrinal on Easter, but we're going to dive into this. But I want you to help me in telling the story and kind of put yourself there. How would you be thinking if you followed Christ and then he died, but he told you about what was going to happen and then he arose from the dead? Where would be your emotions? What would be going on in your thinking? And today we have the Bible and we read the Bible, but the Bible is life. So today I want to help you understand that the resurrection of Christ has given you back a dominion over the enemy that was lost by mankind. Because when creation was happening and took place, remember the last series, Jesus walked and talked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day of the garden. But what happened, sin took place, and now mankind was placed in a sinful world, or let's use another term in the Bible, or a lifestyle that maybe sometimes we live, is a wilderness. A wilderness that we don't understand the whys and the hows of some things. Why do we feel the way we do? Why do we experience the things? And we need to recognize it's because that wasn't God's plan for you to be in a wilderness. God's plan was for you to walk in a garden that he prepared for you so he could have relationship with you. So that's kind of where we're going today. Matter of fact, the first resurrection day, the very first thing Jesus did was walk and talk with Mary. Remember the three ladies we talked about last week? He walked and talked with Mary in the garden. The very first thing. What God was telling us in Scripture and what people experience around the tomb is that God transferred it and brought it back to the garden, the relationship that you can have with your God. Before we read in the book of John, let me read, stay there on your tablet, whatever you're using, but let me read Luke 4, 6 says, "And the devil said to him, all authority in the temptation I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered or given over to me, and I give it to whomever I wish." So the question is, who gave dominion to Satan? The answer is Adam and Eve did, because God gave them the dominion in creation, and because of sin, they gave up that dominion. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, stay in John 14, says, "Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." So, bottom line, this is the story. God in creation gives dominion to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve handed over to Satan when they sinned. Then Satan says to Jesus, "I have all this authority, and just do what I ask you to do, and I will give it to you." But I want you to understand again, I've said this before, notice Jesus did not argue or quote a scripture to tell him it didn't happen, because it did happen. Why do we have all the chaos in our world? It's because of sin. But after the resurrection and what we call the Great Commission, Jesus makes this statement in Matthew 28, says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." So here's what I want to show you now. We don't have to wait until the great second coming of Christ for us to walk in this authority and dominion, because it happened on the first Easter. It happened on Resurrection Day. In John 14, 15, and 16 is the conversation that Jesus is having with his disciples at the Last Supper. So let's begin the story. And again, what are people thinking? What are the disciples thinking? These women, we talked about them last week. What is going on with the city? All right, what's happening in each individual home? Because right now they're feeling, many feeling lost, feeling like something happened that they have no control over. And sometimes you feel that way in your own home. You're struggling in relationship. Something happened in your family. And so what are you thinking in that process of what you're experiencing? And I'm trying to show you that everybody has this. But when we truly understand the meaning of the resurrection, then we can change and correct our thinking and begin to see God bring the miraculous in our homes, in our relationships, with our children, our children's children, and we can experience the blessing of the Lord. And that's my goal, is that I want you to walk out of here, not just because a roast might burn, But I want you to walk out here understanding God's got a plan for you, and it's for good. No matter what you're experiencing right now, God has something special in that experience. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Now, the only two translations that use the word mansions is New King James Version or the King James Version. That word actually means a dwelling place. In my Father's house, or where he dwells, are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. So Jesus says, I have to go and prepare a place for you. I have to go. I have to do something. This is after the crucifixion. He went and he did something, all right? And then when he rose from the dead, he had to go do something and to fulfill his promise. So we're going to cover that. Some people think the scripture says this, that Jesus is up in heaven, and when someone gets born again, he's got a hammer and a nail in his hand, and he goes, oop, I got to build another house. I got to build another mansion. That's not what this is telling us. Forget about the physical mansions for a moment and think spiritually. And when you see it this way, it opens up your heart to so many more things that God wants to do for you. Jesus is really saying you can't have a relationship with the Father until I take care of something. I go to prepare a dwelling place for you. Jesus is saying, I will go and present myself as an offering. This is after the resurrection. So that your sin can be taken care of, then you and the Father can have true relationship. Because at that time, the blood of the Lamb, not Jesus Christ, covered over their sin. So let's keep reading. Watch what Jesus is saying now to the disciples. We talked about the three ladies and the women that were helping them. Now let's talk about the disciples a little bit. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. So let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, verse 28, he said, you have heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back to you. Now, if you've been here for a while, you've heard me say something about this on Sunday evening. He says, I'm going away. I believe he's talking about the crucifixion, the death. And then he's talking about the resurrection, that I'm going to come back to you. Now, this is really good because this will answer a lot of the frustration you've had regarding this whole picture. Jesus is trying to correct their thinking and trying to bring them into a place of understanding truly what he's saying. And literally, he's saying, I'm going to return the dominion to you. And how that happens is I return true relationship with the Father to you. And this is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to die, then in 3 days I'll resurrect. I'm going to go away, but it doesn't say 3 days, but a little while, I believe it's 3 days, I will return to you. And I'll show you, watch this. Verse 28, if you love me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father, or go and prepare a place for you to have relationship with the Father, what he's saying. For my Father is greater than I. Verse 29 is a key verse. It shows us Jesus is talking about the death and resurrection, not the second coming. See, a lot of people think it's about the second coming. Verse 29, and now I have told you before it comes, then when it does come to pass, you may believe. So people say, you may believe. Now, all right, everybody knows the story of the second coming. What's going to happen? Boom, it's there, right? People are going to rise and hear. Of course, it's Old Testament or the New Testament, but it is Old Testament thinking. So they're thinking about the second advent, where Jesus comes and sets up his kingdom. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the resurrection. But that's where a lot of people think this scripture is saying. And the reason why I'm being animate about this is because we lose the focus. No matter where you've been, what you've experienced, what you've done, this relationship has been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. He is that Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice that presents himself to the Father, preparing the dwelling place for you. You are able to dwell with the Father because Jesus went and prepared that by presenting himself as the Lamb of God. Amen. Oh, man. That's why I was pacing in my office, because this fires me up. John 16:16. A little while and you will not see me. And again a little while and you will see me, because I go to the Father. Death, resurrection. When he said this, a few hours later, Jesus was delivered over to the scribes for trial. Then 3 days, he would rise again. So it makes a lot of sense. A little while is a few days, than 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 years. John 16:17. Watch this. Then some of his disciples said among themselves, see what they're thinking, what is this that he says to you? A little while and you will not see me. And again a little while and you will see me. And because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, what is this that he says, a little while? We do not know what he is saying. Now, Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me? Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament. Church family, again, that classic interpretation is the death and the second coming. They did not weep and lament when Jesus ascended. They wept and lamented when Jesus was crucified. Look at verse 20 again. But the world will rejoice. The world rejoiced when Jesus was murdered, was killed. And you will be sorrowful, speaking of when he was crucified. But, this is so good, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. He's talking to the disciples, not 1,000 years, 2,000, 3,000 years away. He says, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. What's that talking about? The resurrection. But look at verse 22. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. I've heard people spend hours trying to explain when Jesus says, I'll see you again, or what that meant. Bottom line, he said, in 3 days after I'm crucified, you're going to see me. I'll see you again. And there's a big story about it. So let's continue. So in the context, Jesus says, I'm going away because I have to fix something. So I'm going to the Father, but don't worry, I'll be back. Guys, it's just going to be a little while. And now I'm going to give you two clues. Because when I come back, you're going to have peace, which they didn't have at that time. And I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And he says, when I get back, I will talk about peace and the Holy Spirit and much more things. So let's now go to Resurrection Day, all right? Now remember last week, John 20, verse 1, Now, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, and while it was dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Remember, this is in the morning. Also, remember the three ladies. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Now, I don't have time for this, but one at the head and one at the feet is a picture of the Ark of the Covenant. Two angels, one at the head, one at the feet, and God in the middle. You're real quiet. That's good stuff. Let's continue. Then they said to her, "Woman," or you can say, well, it's woman, "why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Can you imagine what she's thinking? Can you imagine the disciples hiding? We talked about that last week. Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. So strange, because she served under Jesus for over 2 years. John 8:3 will tell you that. So there must be something different about Jesus' appearance. So we're going to see this. Verse 15, Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She's supposing him to be the gardener. He probably wore a hat or something, you know. Said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus must have done something, because it doesn't say, probably opened up her eyes to the spiritual things. Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me." Now, very important. She probably, when she recognized that it was Jesus, she probably wanted to jump in his arms, because she loved her Lord. Now, the word cling here is in Scripture 36 times, but it's translated touch. It's the same word where the woman said, "If I could only touch the hem of his garment." Same word. So it's also the same word when Jesus said, "Who touched me?" So Jesus said, basically, verse 17, "Mary, don't touch me." Jesus said to her, "Do not touch me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father." See, he rose from the dead, but he had not yet, it's in the morning, cool of the morning, talking to Mary. That's what God wants to do, talk with you, relate with you. I'm trying to help you understand something happened on Resurrection Day, and we need to see it and catch it so it helps you in your everyday walk with the Lord. But go to my, I added this, thick-headed brethren, and say to them, "I am ascending to my Father and your Father." That's never been said. Okay? "And to my God and your God." Verse 19. Listen, the same day and now evening. Stop there. It was morning. Now it's the same day, Resurrection Day, the first one, and now it's evening. Where has Jesus been all day? He's been with the Father. The Bible says Mary sees Jesus in the morning and says, and then Jesus says, "Don't touch me. I have not yet ascended to my Father, but tell the disciples I'm ascending to the Father." Then it says the same day and evening. Let's read it again. Then the same day and evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." Notice, don't touch me, I'm going to the Father. Resurrection day, first one. And Jesus says, here it is, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. I love the Bible sometimes. It's like, and the disciples were glad. They were probably jumping up and down. It's Jesus. Have you ever experienced that when he comes and gives you a hug when you're in a difficult time? You know why? Because that's God's desire to relate with you. A little later, he tells them, showing his hands and his feet, what's he say in the evening? In the morning, don't touch me. In the evening, same word, touch me. Touch me. Can you imagine Mary? Can you imagine, I can touch him now. I couldn't before. So all these things that are going on in our heads with the situations in our life, look at verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. See? The 3 days. It's not the second coming. He says, because I have to get it right for you so you can have relationship. The reason why I left, I said, don't touch me. I had to get it right for you. And I presented, I'm the Lamb of God. I presented to the Father. Jesus also said, I told you this before it happened. So when it does happen, you're going to believe me. I already told you all this stuff. So here's a verse we miss. In Hebrews 9:12, please memorize the scripture. Not with the blood of goats and calves, Old Testament, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place. That's where Father dwells once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Ephesians tells us he descended into the lowest parts of the earth, those 3 days of his death. In the 3 days, he walks up to the devil and he says, give me the keys, I'm taking them back. And then the Bible says that he led captivity captive. Whose captivity? The Old Testament saints that were, the Bible tells us, in Abraham's bosom. They weren't in torment. They weren't in torment. They were in Abraham's bosom. And so he brought them with him. So Jesus already has the authority back, and we don't have to wait for the second coming. Now, before I show it to you in Daniel, by the way, Pastor Dan is teaching on Revelation, and I believe we'll touch on Daniel. And you need to be a part of that too. But John 12:31 says this, now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. So here's another thing, doctrine, I'm going to explain to you. So that when we struggle in our walk with God, when we struggle in our walk with relationships, we can go back to this and say, I have dominion and I have authority and I will win in this area of my life. That's what Easter Sunday represents. So Daniel 7, let me quickly go over this. And so listen closely. You can go back online, listen to it again. Daniel 7, verse 9. I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. Jesus said, I'm going to the Father. This is the Father, Ancient of Days. His garment was white as snow. Can you imagine when we see the Father one day? And the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. By the way, I like math. That's 1,000,000. And 10,000 times 10,000, a lot of you don't have enough fingers and toes. That's 100 million before the throne of God. The court was seated and the books were open. Go to the teaching on Revelation. You'll be taught those books. Now, there's a judgment seat coming and a great white throne judgment, all right? Great white throne is for the sinner who haven't received Christ. And there's the Bema seat. That is the judgment. Actually, it means the reward seat. It's not a judgment because you and I have already been judged through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we are whole. But Jesus said, now there's a judgment of the world. So there was a judgment that took place on Resurrection Day. Verse 11, I watched then because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. I watched till the beast was slain and its body destroyed and given to the burning flame. Now the beast, we think the book of Revelation. But there are four beasts in the book of Revelation. And this beast that he's talking about is judged on Resurrection Day. So let me tell you what was destroyed on the first Resurrection Day. The first beast is sin. The power of sin was destroyed in resurrection power. And you and I today live a life that there is therefore no condemnation because your sin has already been paid for and the beast of sin has been destroyed. Now, let me just tell you about the rest of the beasts, and I'll save it for Pastor Dan to teach on this. As for the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away. Can I say that again? They had their dominion taken away. Yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. And in the second advent, you're going to see what's going to happen. So Satan is lying to you. He had his dominion, but it was taken away Resurrection Sunday. But his life has been prolonged for a season of time. But he does not have that dominion. Verse 13. So here's Jesus coming to the Father. It's amazing. Daniel's talking about this whole picture. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. The clouds of heaven are the Old Testament saints. Hebrews 12:1 calls them that great cloud of witnesses. He came to the Ancient of Days, the Father, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. That happened Resurrection Sunday. When Jesus said to Mary, don't touch me, because I haven't gone into the most holy place yet and offered myself. Daniel 7:21, I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them until the Ancient of Days came, and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom and get their dominion back. Now, amen. We can shout in a moment. See, I'm starting to pace now. I should have a baseball in my back pocket ready to pitch. Here we go. Here's the story. The Ancient of Days walked in, the judge. He looked at Satan on one side and the saints on the other side. Then he looked at the mediator, the one in the middle. He then looked at the bloodied, bruised, beaten body of his son and said, Satan, you lose everything. And then he looked at all of the saints as he's looking at you, and he says, and you win. Amen. And you win. You are a child of God. He is your Father. That's why we have father-like ones. That's why we have men leaders, father-like ones, men for you. Ladies, same thing, mothers, spiritual moms. We're a church. We love one another. We encourage one another. We're blessings to, I'm a blessing to your children, and you're a blessing to my children. Why is that? Because we have dominion. Sin no longer has hold of us. And so let's all stand. I smell my brisket. And I get the middle piece. Church family, wherever you're at, I told you the story. Whatever's going on right now in your thinking, their thinking is real. Your thinking is absolutely real. What you're thinking because of this world, the enemy is lying to you and saying, this is what it is. That's real that you're hearing that. But let me tell you the reality. You win. Pastor Dan said it. I don't have a problem saying it. You win. Change that stinking thinking. Amen?
Amen.
Your marriage is whole. Your children will rise up and follow Jesus Christ as Lord. Your grandchildren will call you blessed. And some of you that are of age, your grandchildren will take care of you, not because it's a job to do, but it's because a blessing to them, because you've been a blessing to them. Why? Because you walk in dominion and you tell the enemy, you are a liar, you are a thief, get out of my house, get out of my life, and you walk in that victory. Amen. One of my mentors would always say, today's the first day of the rest of your life. Amen? So today, rise up and walk in the miraculous. If you're here today, you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Today's the day. You heard the love of God, a loving Father. Receive Him. Everyone online, let us know if you receive Christ. Walk in these things. Men, sign up for the men's breakfast, and you will have a spiritual father that will show you the direction of a loving God.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, and happy Resurrection Day.